Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, here we go. My last hour on The Fan tonight. And I'm going to go home and hit some NyQuil, hit some elderberry, and try and sleep this off. I feel like I'm coming out of it, and I hope to be 100% for the show later on tonight. Keith McPherson on The Fan. We call this KM to 2 a.m. I was hitting you with the out-of-town scoreboard before we went to break, so let's finish it. The Tigers lose to the Mariners. And a battle of aces, Luis Castillo versus Tarek Skubal. Luis Castillo outduels him. He goes 7 innings, gives up 5 hits, 2 runs. And Skubal goes 5 2/3, gives up 6 hits, 3 runs. Let's see. The Giants beat the Astros 6-3. The Red Sox game, I think we talked about, but the Red Sox beat the Orioles in Baltimore 3-0. Yeah, we talked about Garrett Crochet and Devers coming through, and Christian Campbell getting the money. The Phillies, look out for those fighting Phils at 4-1. They beat the Rockies down there at Citizens Bank Park 5-1. And Zach Wheeler, one of the best in the game. Zach Wheeler goes 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run ball, 10 Ks. You already know what happened with the Yankees. You already know what happened with the Marlins, or with the Mets against the Marlins. And we told you that the Dodgers stay undefeated at 8-0. 6-5 victory with Shohei Ohtani walking that game off. Still looking for any type of stories in Major League Baseball that I did not hit on. I think we've pretty much touched on everything. We do have to play the Keith Hernandez hot mic. I think I sent it to Connor. And I jokingly told one of my boys, I was like, Keith Hernandez must have been watching the Yankee game. Can we play Keith Hernandez, hot mic, awful announcing has picked it up. All baseball outlets have picked it up. Keith Hernandez, we don't deserve Keith Hernandez. He's just real, authentic, and the best. And obviously calling the Mets game down there in Miami tonight. These were his thoughts before, you know, Pete Alonso really got going. He wasn't talking about Pete.
Piss poor hitting.
They're coming back from commercial break.
New York Mets baseball on SNY is brought to you by Infinity. Experience the Infinity lineup at your local.
I could just see him looking at his scorecard. Nothing's going for the Mets. It's probably 4-1 at the time. He's a piss poor hitting. Anyway, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Andrew in Far Rockaway on The Fan. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Keith, what's up?
You know, talking the talk. Thanks for calling. What you got?
Good. Now, I just want to say Alonso today, so first of all, he's actually starting off much better than I thought he would. He had 2 doubles today and the go-ahead 3-run homer, very clutch. But it was a nice homer. But Soto also, in the 10th inning, he had a little dribbler to end down in the 10th. He's always known as the clutch guy, but Alonso seems to take his spot today.
Good. I mean, it's a team. Soto's human. I know he's a $765 million man. You expect him to come through all the time, but he's not gonna. Pete's got to pick him up. The rest of the team's got to pick him up. I was talking about Soto earlier. I think we're seeing a little bit of frustration. I know it's early, but like Soto knows the expectations. He knows the pressure on him. Like I said, Soto lives down there in Miami. He wants to perform. He didn't come through, but like they won. They won the game in series, so I'm sure he's fine.
Yeah, it was good. And just another thing about the pitching, even though the pitching looks their starting looks like it's really not bad. Clayhomes again, 4 2/3, not great. But Batson, the pitching's not really so good. It's look, no one's crazy liable. Stanga gave up four runs yesterday. Wasn't great. Peterson was good. McGill was good, but those guys have never gone a full season of being good. McGill last year was half a season. Peterson half a season. Always was a 5 or 4 starter. When Lucchese was here, him and Lucchese were switching off 5 and 4. They were never both really good. They need to get another arm. And people are talking about Sandy Alcantara. That would be a good addition. But they really do need another arm, not Dylan Cease.
Yeah, I'll say that the defense has failed the starting pitching. The defense not making plays, right, not getting out. Vientos today. Lindor with Senga 2 days ago. Like, if those plays are made, they have a different outing, different line, and, you know, one thing leads to another. But what I will say is that this Mets bullpen, this is one of the better Mets bullpens maybe ever. How many years of your life have you seen the Mets bullpen blow it? You can count on it. These guys are going to give the game away. They're like random bums coming out of the Mets bullpen to give the game away. Now you got guys coming out of the bullpen that, like, they're dogs. The only one that's looking like a typical Mets bullpen arm is Danny Young, yes.
Yeah. And one more thing also, we have, like, I don't know, 3 second baseman prospects. Jet Williams, Ronnie Mauricio, Acuna, Beatty could play second base, technically infield. Bunch of infield prospects. And Kevin Pryor is also a catcher. They already have Alvarez. So I don't understand why they can't just trade. They can't package people in a deal and get a good, either a lockdown reliever, like a setup man, or a starter.
Well, they can and they will add to this team, but we're 2 series in. And, you know, like, what I said about David Stearns is this guy is always working. He's always checking the market. He's always watching the games, and he's always looking to improve. No one's really talking about it, but I talked about it earlier in this show that they signed 2 players to minor league deals that are like veteran Major League Baseball players, John Singleton and Nico Goodrum. So it might just be depth. But you don't know if somebody gets hurt. You don't know if they need to make a move, whatever. It's good to have those guys in AAA Syracuse, see how they do there, and maybe they can help this team.
Yeah. I didn't know that they signed those 2 guys, but yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, John Singleton, first baseman, and Nico Goodrum, second baseman, shortstop. Where, hey, if Jeff McNeil isn't back soon and you're tired of seeing Brett Beatty. And
Jeff McNeil's not the greatest second baseman anyway.
But when he's healthy, they're going to play him. When he's healthy, they're putting his bat in the lineup, and he's going to be out there. But what I'm saying is now there's some reinforcements.
They should let Mauricio play instead of him. Mauricio was very good when he came up in the beginning. Right away, his first game, he had a double, and I think he also might have had a single that game. He has a good arm, a good fielder. He's big, and he could hit the ball hard. He's good on base percentage. Jeff McNeil is a washed little batting title, can't do anything anymore. There's no reason they don't let him play.
Yeah, but they're going to give McNeil his respect. Thanks for the call, Andrew. He'll play when he's ready. You saw he came back and played in the postseason when he was ready. 888-808-1019. Now, Ronnie Mauricio, I think they want him to get a little more seasoning. I wouldn't expect to see him. I wouldn't expect to see him early on, maybe later in the season. 888-808-1019. Man, I just blanked on what I was about to... Sandy Alcantara. You mentioned him. And I think it's funny how, you know, all these Mets from Marte to Lindor to Soto were campaigning for him. In my live chat, we had someone say, well, you know, the Yankees and Marlins are always trade partners. They traded Jazz. They traded John Birdie. Or they traded for Jazz. They traded for John Birdie. I'm sure the Yankees are checking on Sandy Alcantara. But, you know, the Yankees, there's always the Yankees tax, and the Marlins are probably asking for George Lombard Jr. You know, they're not going to give him up. Will the Mets part ways? I'm like, I think that this is a pitcher that maybe Stearns is interested in because he's not washed and he's under control, and, you know, it depends what they're asking for. I think the Marlins are going to try and hold up the entire league for this guy, because they know how coveted he's going to be. But we're not there yet. It is April 3rd. Teams have played 6-7 games. The Dodgers have obviously played eight because they've gone out to Tokyo. But it is so early. We just, as fans, are so eager that we are jumping to conclusions. We can jump on some things to talk about, but we just can't jump to conclusions. 888-808-1019. I wanted to take this call because I was going to sprinkle in some more conversation, and we haven't gone here yet tonight. Mark is out in California on the Fan in New York. Welcome back, Mark.
Oh, Keith, what's going on? You watched that Knick game tonight?
I did, because the Yankees were pissing me off. So when the Mets game ended, I was watching the Knicks, and I was just listening to Dave and Susan talk about the Yankees striking out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the Knicks were fooling me, or maybe it was the Cavaliers that were fooling me in the first quarter, first half, where I'm like, okay, the Knicks are actually playing with them. But come to find out, it was the Cavs that weren't really playing and turned up in the second half.
Yeah, they ended it on a 13-2 run in the second half. They had 58, Knicks had 60, and they ended with, I think, 50. So they ended it on a 13-2 run. Not only that, but like there's been so many times throughout the years of Tibbs being the head coach that literally just the Knicks in the fourth quarter just entirely implode. And it needs to be talked about because it's just, it happens over and over again. Like 35, I think it's 38 times I counted, the Knicks have scored under 30 points in the fourth quarter. And they've only won 12 of those games, by the way. But it's staggering, man. This is like a massive problem. His rotational that he does with his minutes for players is atrocious. It's horrible. He just plays guys till the wheels fall off, and it's just not very good. Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns do not look good together at all. Teams are shooting more threes. The defense is actually imploding, and it's just not enough time to really get it together. And then you're going to put OG back when Brunson comes back, and he struggles sitting next to both of those guys. So if the Knicks play the Pacers in the first round, good luck, because they're a team that can really just embarrass the Knicks.
I can't wait to see what it actually looks like when the Knicks are healthy, when the Knicks are in the playoffs, and it's go time. Like, is there going to be a difference? Like, it just sucks to keep hearing the same narrative that they can't beat good teams. They really are a good team. So. I mean, they're a third-place team in the East.
Yeah, they're very good, but they need to go small. You need to put McBride and Brunson in the lineup together. You know, OG a couple years ago was very good when he wasn't on the Knicks. Then he came over and he just like lightened it up, and then he got injured. And then he got injured in the playoffs. And you're like, oh my God. But now you're starting to see without Brunson, he's your best player. And so it's like you have him. I don't really care about Hart as much. It pushes Hart out of the lineup, which is good for, you know, reasons. But the Knicks wanted Tyler Kolek, right? They wanted him so bad. Where is he?
But he's a rookie, man, and I don't know what you're really expecting out of him in his 15 minutes. Mikal Bridges, 8 points in his 36 minutes.
He's in a disaster with New York, man. And so
it's just like,
never seen it.
Sometimes he's had some good games in this stretch without Brunson. OG obviously has stepped up. Karl Anthony Towns back in the fold. I don't know, 64 points in the paint for the Cavaliers.
I'm going to tell my son in 5 years, I'm going to be like, the Knicks traded 5 first-round picks on for a guy named Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, well,
my son's going to be like, what? Be like, Mikal Bridges? 5 first-round picks? Yeah.
Knicks because
5 first-round picks?
He seemed like the missing piece of the puzzle last year. He seemed like the last Infinity Stone, the 7th Dragon Ball. It was like, gotta have this guy.
Yeah. No, he did, man. And what's so crazy about it was that, like, last season he had great season for Brooklyn. Was rebounding, was shooting threes, he played good defense.
Yeah,
like, oh my
it's different, then, though. It's different when you're in Brooklyn and there's nobody else and there's no expectations. And it's like, just go out there and hoop and nobody really cares. When you're playing for the Knicks, the pressure
Dude's
is...
never been an all-star, bro.
Yeah, that's what was crazy. It was like, no one has ever been traded for that many picks that wasn't an all-star.
It sounded like just at the time, I was like, oh, Mikal Bridges, nice pick. But it sounded more desperation that the Knicks just needed something. And then you said like, oh my gosh, like you're going to get all the Villanova guys back together. And then all of a sudden they trade for Karl Anthony Towns. You're like, what the heck? Like, where's Dante? Where's, you know, what's his name? It's Randall, it's done. And then all of a sudden now you have this like monster team. So unless they go out and make a trade for somebody else next year or do something else, I think it's going to be a quick second round exit. I'm not super happy. Do I think they could beat Cleveland healthy? I do. I think Cleveland's the one team that they can match up well with. Boston, forget about it. Not happening. I hope, you know, but yeah, I mean, we just got to see. Draft in 3 weeks. Who you got?
Draft in 3 weeks for the Giants, Travis Hunter. For the Jets, okay. Tyler Warren.
Tyler Warren is very interesting. I've been hearing a lot of like
rocks. Give Justin Fields a Tyler Warren tight end option to throw little short passes to up the seam. Get that guy. Like, come on, man. They don't have the greatest wide receiver room, but you add this guy. Yes. I think there's an option for them to draft him there. Or if they go offensive line, that's fine too. But I just feel like you want this Jets offense to have that weapon. And when you look at the Lions offense and how they use Sam LaPorta, like, this kid's going to be better than Sam LaPorta.
I don't think Tyler Warren's going to be available. I think Jets pick at 7, right?
Yeah, he could be available at 7 for sure.
I mean, Jacksonville's
and they passed on Brock Bowers last year, so this year get the top tight end prospect.
Warren's not better than Brock Bowers in his tape, but everyone's comparing him to Gronkowski. And I'm like, listen,
they're different. You're going to compare they're different styles.
Way different styles. Like, I mean, he's more
Brock Bowers is a route runner, and like, he's damn near a receiver. Tyler Warren is going to help your run game because he's going to block and he's going to be a bully and he can go up and make those catches up top. And I just think that is someone that you give Justin Fields. That's just like a safety blanket for Justin Fields. Thanks for the call, Mark. 888-808-1019. Well, you got to, a couple of the things that I had in my notes for this last hour. Also, congratulations is in order for Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony has been notified that he's been elected into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame class of 2025. So, some good news for the Knicks today. Nelson is in Albany. Next up on the Fan, go for it, Nelson.
How you doing, Keith?
Good. Thanks for calling.
So I got 2 points to make. First of all, on the Mets, I'm cautiously optimistic about what I'm seeing from this pitching staff. That was what we're meant to be nervous about coming into the season. So far, I know it's only been two series, where the verses seem a little bit reversed. It seems the roles are a little reversed. The pitching looks like they're doing okay. It's the only day with score runs for this pitching staff. Today, Alonso came in the clutch. I did not expect that from him. I was getting very nervous. I don't understand. Also, I think Beatty doesn't look like he has anything right now. Well, why do they just keep Acuña in there?
They're giving him an opportunity based off of what he did in the spring. The spring is over, but they want to see this kid show that he can do it because they've seen him do it. He's the whipping boy right now. If there's one player that Mets fans are looking at and saying, why is he here? What does he do? He doesn't fit the standard of this, you know, winning team that we're trying to put out there. It's Brett Beatty. And then Vientos close second.
I think they should already take him and package him up for a deal. I heard actually from Keith and Andrew during the game that the Marlins are very interested in him. Try to package
are
him
they?
Up for Alcantara. That's what I heard.
I mean, what is there to, like, you got to give to get. He's batting 071. He's grounding in double plays. He doesn't look that solid in the field. Like, I don't know. It's like, if they're interested in him, maybe he can be in the Sandy Alcantara package.
Right, that's true. And then McNeil, I don't think they should do whatever they could to keep him off the field. Like you said, we have a bunch of young kids. We need him. Nobody wants to see him. He just makes us frustrated. I don't, you know.
Yeah, maybe Jeff McNeil has a setback. I don't know what the timetable is on Jeff McNeil's return. I think earlier in this week they said he was swinging a bat again.
Right, and then Soto, he's a little mediocre. I know he gets on base a lot with his walks, but he's not starting off the way he started off with the Yankees.
Yeah, because he's not on the Yankees. It's a different lineup. It's a different team. And like I said about Soto, it looks like he's pressing. He's getting pitches to hit. I had in my notes, bro, he got an 88-mile-an-hour cutter right down the middle in the top of the zone, and he rolled over, and I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, so what is happening with Soto, bro? I'm like, this guy, is he trying too hard? Is he pressing? Because, in play, 88.4-mile-an-hour cutter. It was the second pitch in the top of the zone. Like,
right.
I thought he was going to mash that. I thought he was hitting that out of the park.
Me too. I was waiting for it.
He saw a cutter the pitch before. He saw a 93-mile-an-hour cutter for a ball the pitch before. I don't know. I was surprised. I've seen so many of his at-bats. I'm like, that pitch, I'm thinking he sends out of the ballpark, and he rolled over it.
Yeah, but he's the least of my worries right now because we know.
Because you know what he is. You know what he is. And, exactly. I think him getting back to New York, playing those first home games in Citi Field, you know what he does in Citi Field as an opponent. So it is what it is. It's an early start. Soto showed himself that second game of the season where he homered after Hader struck him out the night before, and it ended that way. I called that. I'm like, I guarantee you homers. I bet on it the next day. Soto's going to post. I wouldn't worry about him, especially when you got Pete showing up. It's a team. If Soto doesn't do it, Pete's got to come through.
100%. And on the Knicks, I was just curious your take because, you know, I'm a big Knicks fan. Last year, they weren't as talented of a team, but I felt it. We felt the energy, all Knicks fans. Going into the playoffs, we felt we could do something. This year, they have a better team. They're more talented. First of all, it's not as fun. And second of all, they're not, you know, I think they're stagnant right now. They win who they're meant to win against. They lose against the Cavs and the Sixers. Celtics, sorry, not Sixers. And, you know, and they're just, I don't think they're going to go anywhere in the playoffs. That's my feeling right now. I'm curious your take on that.
Yeah, I'm not a Knicks fan, and thanks for the call, Nelson. And early in this season, I had some takes on the Knicks, and as soon as you say anything against the beloved Knicks in New York City, oh, you're a hater, you don't know ball. And what I had said was they don't have the guys. That this configuration of the team is not going to be able to do it this year. Maybe if they tweak and change the team in the next couple years, maybe if this team has more games and more years to grow together and develop their, what's that key word everyone uses, chemistry, but they don't have the guys to compete with the top two teams in the East. They don't have the guys to compete with the top teams in basketball, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you Google New York Knicks or you go on Twitter and search New York Knicks, you know, there's a stat up there about them being 0-8 against the top teams. That has been the narrative. They are good. They win games. They'll beat the hell out of the Sixers. But then the next night, they'll go to Cleveland and face the Cavs. They'll have a 15-point lead, and then they'll end up losing by 20. Yeah, stat muse. The Knicks are 0-8 versus the top three teams in the NBA. So what does that tell you? Where are you headed? You hope that they get a draw where they can get out of the first round. But right now, if the playoffs ended today, they're facing Giannis and the Bucks. I don't know. They need Brunson to come back, and they need to have an identity where they can be flexible. One night it's Brunson, one night it's Cat, one night it's OG. Mikal Bridges being a secondary piece too. But when you look at the like Celtics, the reigning champs, the Celtics healthy, no one thinks that the Knicks can beat the Celtics. Like I said, I don't even know if they could beat the Bucks if Giannis is going crazy. Giannis is a champion. He's done it before. I don't know. We'll see. But I also, my other take about the Knicks was that like they're not going to win with a team that has pretty much, not. I know Mitchell Robinson, and I'm not talking about bench players. I said they're not going to win with the team that they put together foregoing the draft, right? Because the Knicks have missed on so many draft picks over the years. They get good now in these last 4 years with a team full of guys that they traded for or signed in free agency. And like they have good players. They win games. But when you look at the team, you put this team together, and it's a trickle-down effect. There's a domino effect, right? Because of how you signed Ihart, you weren't able to offer him what OKC could offer him. So you lose him. You lose him now. Mitchell Robinson is hurt. You got to trade for a center. You end up trading away Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. And I thought that most fans were ready to see what the team looked like with a healthy Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby, Josh Hart. So then it's a, nope, new team now. But in theory, it's like, okay, Karl Anthony Towns is a beast. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think it's too quick for them to be able to rock with the top teams. Your arm's too short to box with the God. They're not on that level yet. Like Pun said, you're not even in Mi Clase. They're a good team. But, like, you need to be great to win a championship, and there are great teams that they're going to run into. And that's the problem with the Knicks. A second round exit is going to be old at this point. A second round exit is not cool anymore. A second round exit, the fans aren't going to be chanting Knicks in eight, you know, waiting to dap up the players for a good run to the second round. A second round exit this year is going to be like, this is whack. Like, we're supposed to progress. This is supposed to be a story of developing and getting to the next level. We're supposed to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're supposed to get to the finals. 888-808-1019. I had a take back in the summer at Fanatics Fest where I was like, this group is not even going to make the Eastern Conference Finals. People killed me for it online. And that was before they had Cat. I'm like, they're not going to, bro. I'm like, this is not March Madness. Putting together, Jay Wright's Villanova Wildcats is not going to be a formula to get through the Celtics or the Bucks or the Pacers who knocked you out last year or the Cavs, who I didn't know that Kenny Atkinson's Cavaliers are going to look like this. Listen, it's basketball. Anybody can get hurt. It's basketball. Somebody can get hot, but it's like we have enough of a sample size where if you're a gambling man, you're not betting on the Knicks to win the finals this year. You're not betting on the Knicks to get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year. And that's not hating. That's not hating. Like, I'm also not betting on the Pacers to get far. The Pistons had a great year for them. I'm not expecting them to get anywhere. In the West. All right. You know, even though, you know, Luka and LeBron are together, I'm not expecting Luka and LeBron to win the chip. It's their first year playing together. I wouldn't sleep on Steph. I wouldn't sleep on Steph and Jimmy Butler over there and Draymond, and they've done it before. You never know with them. Right now, like, the West is going to be what to watch. Like, in the West, if the playoffs started today in the West, you get the Lakers versus the Timberwolves. You just saw the other night the Timberwolves versus the Nuggets. Like, Ant-Man versus Bron. You know, Rudy Gobert out there, Luka out there, Naz Reid. Like, the Nuggets with Nikola Jokic versus Steph. That's the first round matchup. Jokic versus Steph, the 4-5 matchup, it's fire. Even the play-in, like Clippers-Grizzlies, Ja Morant still trying to be NBA young boy. The Mavericks, sucks that the like Mavericks don't have Kyrie, that Kyrie went down. But like, yeah, I mean, in the NBA, let's see if the Thunder can do it this year. I don't believe in the Rockets. I think it's the year for the Cavs to get through if they can beat the Celtics. And don't sleep on Steph and the Warriors or the Nuggets getting back. I just think it's something to be said about teams that have been there and done that. And I won't count the Lakers all the way out, but I don't think the Lakers are getting it done. 888-808-1019. All right, I'm going to take a break in this next minute. I have three calls. You guys stay on the line. Yankees calls, Mets calls, Sandy Alcantara. Before we go to break here, there was an article that I was reading in the Bronx Daily about the Mets and Yankees and how they're scoring big for the economy here in New York City. Major League Baseball is back in New York City. Whenever the amazing Mets or the Yankees play in our city, our economy wins. We know that sports are not just good for our spirits, but also for our wallets. Last week, our administration announced that regular home games played by the New York Yankees and the New York Mets during the 2025 regular season alone are projected to generate $909 million in economic activity in our city. So it's good when the Yankees are good. It's good when the Mets are good. It's good when baseball is back. The Mets are on their way back. It's going to be lit in Queens. It's going to be lit in Yankee Stadium as we get into the warmer spring and the summer months, and we hope that we can get to the World Series. Who knows? The Subway Series is so many people. I doubt that. But, like, man, it's going to be good times in 2025 around baseball. This is the capital of baseball. This is where Major League Baseball's offices are. This is where the best fans in the world are. And now there are superstars on both sides, on both teams. We're in for a great year. So don't panic with what you've seen so far in two series. These teams are going to win, and the ballparks are going to be packed. We're going to have a lot of fun. Keith McPherson on the Fan. If you're on hold, stay on hold. 888-808-1019. When we come back, I'll sprinkle in the rest of the stuff from my notes. A couple, notes on the Giants. Just some things I wanted to say about Shador Sanders and Russell Wilson and that. And then, we'll take the rest of the calls on the Mets and the Yankees and Sandy Alcantara. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mom,
sets up high, stares at Lindor, the payoff pitch. Vientos hits it high in the air to left field. It's got legs. It's deep. It's back near the wall. It is gone! Mark Vientos has added yet another chapter to what is becoming a ridiculous postseason for the New York Mets. He's tied the game.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
KM on the Fan, wrapping this one up in the next 20 minutes. If you want to call and talk to me, 888-808-1019 before I get out of here. Something I wanted to say about the Giants. And I was on, I think Loogie was the first one on when the Russell Wilson news broke. And I think he was sad because he wanted Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the song that actually ended. We don't have to talk about Aaron Rodgers anymore. But me, I'm like, oh, this is a sign that they're not drafting Shedeur Sanders. To me, why would you use the third overall pick on Shedeur Sanders? Could they still draft a quarterback? Could they draft Kyle McCord? Could they draft Tyler Shuck? Could they draft, you know what I'm saying? Like, they could. But I don't think they're using that third overall pick on Shedeur Sanders anymore. And today we saw Russell Wilson and that big blue jersey with number 3 on it. How many people are running to the store to get themselves a number 3 Russell Wilson Giants jersey? I don't know. But I saw that he got the number from Deontay Banks. I don't think we found out if he paid for it or if he got him a car like Juan Soto got Brett Beatty a car. But he gave him like a tweet shout out like, you know, thanks, King. And then we saw Deontay Banks is taking number 2. So I'm like, this is another sign that they're not getting Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders, his whole brand is too legendary. Shedeur Sanders is probably going to be the number 2 quarterback taken in this draft. Shedeur Sanders' dad wore 2 at Florida State. He ain't going to wear number 2, and he's not going to get drafted by the Giants. They shouldn't draft him. They are desperately trying to win now. And I think with Russ and with Jameis, they've got 2 NFL-caliber quarterbacks, veterans that are going to come in there and compete and change the culture and potentially win some games. Again, they could draft Kyle McCord late. But I think at number 3 overall, you take the best available player. I think Abdul Carter is a great player. But I think you can't go wrong with Travis Hunter. He's going to be good, whether he's a receiver, whether he's a DB, special teams player. Like, he's a freak athlete. I would take that kid, and I'd put that number 12 on him. And I know John Mara wants to sell jerseys because they were selling all the Saquon jerseys. Saquon Barkley was the most popular player by far. Well, draft Travis Hunter. And there are going to be a bunch of kids pulling up with that 12 jersey on because he's got millions of followers online. He's on Twitch. He's super popular. He won the Heisman here in New York. Draft that kid. Put that number 12 on him. And you've got a built-in star that is going to be a star in this league. And dare I say, the Ohtani of this league, if he can figure it out. 888-808-1019. I will say this, that I don't think he can be the Ohtani of the league, and that what Ohtani does is much harder. Ohtani's not doing it right now, though. And what I'll say is, I don't believe the kid can do it, but I'm not saying that he absolutely can't do it. Like, he's done it in high school at a high level. He did it in college at a high level. I just know it's hard to go both ways in the NFL, man. These are the best of the best. These are the biggest, fastest, strongest, smartest players in the world. And, you know, I heard Dable talking about, like, how remarkable it is that he's able to do that without a rest. The NFL is different, though. But I think there's a way where he could be maybe a full-time corner and be in some packages on offense, and that's good enough. He doesn't have to play every snap of offense, every snap of defense. Okay, 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County, back on the Fan. Come on, Ross. Ross fell asleep on us. Let's go to David in Brooklyn. You got it, David.
Hey, how are you feeling?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Right. I know it's the beginning of the season, and I've gone to today's game and to yesterday's game. Yes, I'm frustrated, but I do have like some genuine genuine questions about like the Yankees and third base, starting pitching, even though the bullpen was lights out. And like in general, I know like we hit like off the Milwaukee Brewers, we hit 15 bombs, and we do just saw that they're just not a great team. Like they didn't start off great this season. You know, the Kansas City Royals did it as well. The Yankees had 16 strikeouts, even though it's the beginning of the season and we're not supposed to be concerned. We're just overreacting. There are some like key issues that, especially coming off like a World Series win, you would expect that like Brian
they
Cashman.
They lost, but yeah. World Series
yeah, yeah.
appearance.
I'm sorry. Appearance. I said win. Yeah, I really wanted them to. But you would expect them to go out like the next year and go all out. Like be like the Dodgers. Fill every hole.
I wasn't expecting to. They never do. If they got Juan Soto, they might have gotten one other piece. They didn't get Juan Soto and they never finished the job. They will put Jay Bruce at first base. They will tell you IKF is going to be a shortstop. They will put Aaron Hicks in right field. They will tell you Josh Donaldson. They always leave it to we can add at the deadline or we can address this some other way. They never stack the deck. I've said that for years about the Yankees. Love them, but it's
George
obvious.
Steinbrenner. That's George Steinbrenner.
Rest in peace to George. It's been a long time.
Hal is his son. Like, the Yankees are the most successful sports franchise in history. Now we have a team like the Dodgers that they could lend us two starting pitchers and really not be affected by it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, why can't, as Yankee fans, we should all be very upset. It's great that we hit home runs, and like we should actually, like, we can't really do anything because like we're all going to show up to games, but like hypothetically, they should finish the job. There's no third baseman. We started off the season. There's no third baseman. Our bullpen is weaker than last year. And starting pitching, we had just had injuries. That's just
so,
can't account for
you
that.
Yeah, let's talk about third base, and we'll talk about the bullpen. Right now, it's Oswaldo Cabrera, Pablo Lopez, Oswald Peraza. To me, you know, and they actually tried to sell you on DJ LeMahieu being an option there. To me, none of those guys are really good enough to be like on a World Series caliber winning team. And they've all shown us things early on where we're like, you know, like they need another bat. Pablo Lopez being in the game at the end of the game is like we're hoping that Pablo Lopez at 31, a veteran that really nobody else wanted, can do what he did in spring training in the major leagues. He hasn't been able to do it yet. Maybe he does. Maybe they believe he will. But, like, to you, David, to me, as Yankee fans, it's not good enough. Like they
it's
don't
not.
Finish the job. We wanted Nolan Arenado. We wanted them to trade for anybody, whether it was Key Brian Hayes, Ryan McMahon. Some people were asking for Luis Arraez. We were like, they need another bat. Now, here they are.
Alex Bregman.
They were never doing that, though. They were never giving him the $40 million. Like, the Judge is making $40 million. The Red Sox had to give him $40 million. They were never giving Bregman the $40 million. They definitely weren't putting him in the locker room with Cody Bellinger, who was vocal about the Astros cheating, and Judge, who was robbed an MVP. So it was like, in theory, yeah, Bregman, but like he was never, they checked on it, but he was never going to get signed with the Yankees. But I do think
they owe it to Judge. They just owe it to they owe Judge a World
I always
Series
have a
ring.
Tough I always have a tough time with like what the Yankees owe Judge and like putting the team around Judge, because like they've had teams around Judge and Judge has propelled teams to the postseason and the team is carrying Judge. Judge isn't like if Judge is regular Judge in the postseason, maybe they break through in, I don't know, one of these years that, like, you know what I'm saying? So, and I love Judge, but like at the same time, I can't say that they owe it to Judge and they're not doing enough for, you know, around Judge. They've had the teams.
They owe it to us. They owe it to us like me and you.
Now you're damn sure right about that. They owe it to the Yankee fan, especially like, the young Yankee fan. And I don't know how old you are, but they're, you know.
I'm 20. I've been going to games
they
in and out. Like, just sitting there and watching them never get the job done. After every year, just listening to Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman, we want to build a World Series team. We want to build the best team. And you're not doing anything. You're literally not. You're signing Paul Goldschmidt for a 1 year. He's 40. Cody, actually, we got him for nothing. So I'm happy about that. But what'd you do? You lost Soto. You lost a generational talent. You signed Max Fried. I love that. It's a bit of an overpay for like 8 years, injury prone. But thank God we have him since Cole and Yule went down. But still, you didn't do anything. You finally got a taste of the World Series.
So, but they did do some things, right? Like Devin Williams, he's just not here because he had his first child. But Devin Williams is your closer. We don't have to watch Clay Holmes try to close games. Luke Weaver.
He almost did watch the first night for the first closing. It was kind of scary, but except for that.
It's hard to say that they didn't do anything because they did pivot. And like Paul Goldschmidt is good. He's a good player. He's up there in age, but I think he's going to be a good hitter and a good first baseman and an upgrade over Anthony Rizzo or DJ LeMahieu playing there. Jazz playing second base. Jazz is going to have a better year than Glaber. He's going to field his position. And he's going to hit. He's going to have homers. Like, Jazz is going to – I think Jazz is going to have an overall good year. Volpe is off to, looking like he could be an all-star this year. Hopefully it's sustainable. Right. Like, they're relying on guys like Ben Rice and Dominguez and Wells, young
ben
guys.
Ben Rice also impressive.
Yeah, it's intentional. It's a shift because here's where we're at, David. It's the allocation of funds. Why do they not go all in? Why do they always stop short? Because they make mistakes with their allocation of funds. Like, Stanton is above reproach to me because of who he is, but the Stan contract is ridiculous. Like, you had a muscle-bound right fielder and Judge. You didn't need to go get Stanton, but you were able to get Stanton in a trade, so that was your move where you didn't have to go out and buy Manny Machado or Bryce Harper.
You could have met 100%.
Correct.
Right, so, like, you see, the Yankees just have one of the dumbest contracts with Jacoby Ellsbury. There's, like, Aaron Hicks, I think we were still paying him till now. Like, Josh Donaldson.
Yep.
It's just beyond stupid. And, like, one last question. When do you see, like, what window, like, in what time, how long do you think before the Yankees win another World Series, realistically? Because their farm isn't the greatest. And, like, Judge is getting older. So if he does wake up and if we, like, have a postseason run where it's actually possible, where do you see the Yankees winning a World Series realistically? Because this year, I'm not so confident. Again, it's baseball. Anything could happen. That's what the Mets showed us last year. But, like,
their window is with Aaron Judge until he's an old man. And there's a lot of people – thanks for the call, David. There's a lot of people that tell me Judge is aging out. Well, even when Judge ages out, he's still going to be one of the better players in the game. He's still going to be an all-star, even when he's not performing at an all-world level like he does. He's turning 33. I think he's still going to be good until he's 36, right? I think he takes care of his body. I think he's a freak of nature. I think Judge has 2025, 2026, 2027, 2028. So that is the window. The best player in the game, the best player on your team, being who he is. Like, he's got another four more years, I think, of getting to the postseason to break through and get it done, and they got to stack the deck around them. It sucks that Cole is not available this year, but make a trade. Go get Sandy Alcantara. Let's go to Brendan out on L.I., Long Island. Brendan, you got it. You're alive.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Yeah, so no, I'm bringing up Sandy for the Yankees because I know, right now it's more like Met talk. Obviously, they don't have a viable rotation. They kind of do need to make the big move for an ace, whether that's a Cease or like King, but like Sandy's the guy. This time around with the trade deadline stuff, which I think he'll probably get moved earlier than that, just because like the situation they're in, the Marlins suck. But anyway, I mean, and this is kind of like the main point I'm going to bring up with it is like I'm big on like adding the strength to the strength. So like, and I do think the rotation is. I mean, obviously. Now we're going to talk about the three-year window after that. Like, in that three-year Judge window is the remaining years of Cole's contracts. Like, it's make or break, and he'll be around for this year with no Cole, and then 2 years after that, two of the 3 years with the Judge and Cole. But, people say, like, I think you brought it up before, and I'm not knocking you, but, no one can match the Dodgers right now, per se, talent-wise, which it's, they can't, but I just think they've set the bar to the point where it's like, you're going to have to start to, like, build to that. And I think, if you – they already had the stack rotation before the injuries. So, you're going to have that.
What I'll say with the Dodgers, too, is they're in the National League, and they might not make it out of the National League every single year. And in this first year that we ran into them, like, the Dodgers fan that called me, I think, in the 12 o'clock hour, he said it. He's like, the Dodgers won that World Series as much as the Yankees gave it to them. Game one. There's so many things that swung, like even game five, game three, when the Yankees didn't swing the bat, like, all you got to do is get there. the Yankees, it could very well be a rematch Yankees-Dodgers this year. And if the Yankees tighten the screws on this thing, they can win. Baseball is unpredictable. They have the talent. I don't know what's going to happen. Fingers crossed. But like the Diamondbacks, it could be Yankees Diamondbacks with the Yankees facing, you know, Corbin Burns and Zach Gallen again. Like, I don't know. I think the Dodgers are starting off so hot, and they're going to flame out at some point. They're going to have injuries at some point. But like, I just don't fear any teams. It's baseball, man. Like, if the Yankees can dominate the American League for the next few years of Judge in his prime, Cole will be back, and Stanton will be back, and our young guys are going to emerge, and they're showing you that they can hit and that they can play, and it's on Cashman. I'll say this, too, about Cashman. Cashman is aging out. He knows he doesn't have enough time, right? He knows he doesn't have forever to win another ring. So there's going to come a time where he goes for it, where he punches it. He's not going to trade away George Lombard, but like, there are going to be some prospects that he doesn't hug in the next few years because it's going to be time to go all in and stack the deck and have a team that can win it.
I think there's definitely going to be a big move like during this, like, I think it'll be sooner rather than later when we talk about this gap, this like 3-year window, but obviously this upcoming all season, Guerrero, and I think Tucker, like I'd prefer him probably. And then, you know, if Bellinger's gone, then you're going to have to figure out Dominguez in center per se. But no, I think the Sandy thing is like, you know, not for, all right, if you want to, you don't have to match the Dodgers, but like, I would like one of those like Dodger like moves. Like they add strength to strength. Like they just like
all the time.
I think Bobichev's going to be a Dodger by the end of the year.
Yeah,
maybe Rojas ain't making a cut in the postseason.
They added Ruiz today, and I'm like, they just added speed. They just added another guy that's going to make plays, and he's going to be playing on a team with other talented players.
I would love one of those moves, like, you know.
Yeah, but they don't. Like, they stop short. Like their trade deadline last year, they got Jazz, they got Mark Leiter Jr., and then they got Eniel De Los Santos. They had to DFA him. Meanwhile, we're screaming for Tanner Scott. We're screaming for another bat. We're like, what?
They can't build it in one, you know, deadline per se. But like, all right, you pick up Sandy now, and I'm not making this sound easy. Like, it's going to take a hole, and like, it, you know, for whoever gets them, it's going to sting. Like what they gave up, but I, you know, there's certain guys where it's like they're the guy. I think you could say he's a guy, right? He's a dude. So you know, if you add him in this window of like, all right, the rotation's going to be stacked. Like even after this year, it's going to be, you know, even better. And then yeah, they just go all out, like, do that all-in free agency of, like, we're going to get Tucker or we're going to get, like, a Vlad. You know, I mean, come on. We can't win with that.
They could, but will they do it? Will they? I don't think they go and get Vlad, exactly. But I think they were obviously in on potentially trading for Tucker. I think that they're going to try to get Tucker. But maybe they don't. Maybe Dominguez progresses and they're like, well, you know, we're set here. I mean, like, where's Tucker playing? Left field?
Well, that would
and
be
then you put Dominguez like, at center field?
Yeah, be back to that, you know, Dominguez.
And then
what is
Bellinger goes to first because Goldschmidt will be gone?
Well, I'm thinking that's if Bellinger, like, stays in his contract. But if you were to opt out, you'd only have one more year.
He probably will opt out. I don't know, man. The future is unknown. Right now, this team has a lot of hitters. They have enough pitching, barely, in the starting rotation. The bullpen will be better once Devin Williams comes back, when Jonathan Loaisiga comes back. The rotation will be better when Luis Gil comes back and Clark Schmidt comes back. I think they have a chance to win the World Series until the World Series champion is crowned. Thanks for the call, Brennan. It's April 3rd. It's April 3rd. I don't know. We're closer to the last World Series than the next one. And I'm closer to going home and sleeping off this cold. I champed it out again. I've been sick the last three nights, but I don't care. Baseball's back. Like, I'm not skipping these shows. I'm not calling out. I'm not handing my show over. And I'm here. I'm rocking through it. So appreciate y'all, man. Everybody in the chat, like, it's 2 in the morning. There's 1,066 people in the chat watching. You guys should go to bed. Rest up. If you're listening, stay tuned. C-Mac is coming up next. I'm out. Keep McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. Adios. We'll do the same thing tomorrow night. Or tonight, technically.
Sports Radio 101.9.